Hi, and welcome to Becoming Less, an Edmontonian journey to less waste, less impact, less consumption, and less clutter. Becoming Less is brought to you by Waste Free Edmonton, and together we're dedicated to waste reduction efforts, big and small. I'm Biz, and today I'm here with Gisela. Hi, Gisela, how are you doing?
Good. Nice to meet you, and I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, well, it's lovely to have you on. We have a bit of a unique perspective from Gisela, who is originally from Mexico. She's going to talk about water waste and the huge differences she sees between Mexico and Canada.
That's right. Yeah, so I moved to Canada 10 years ago, and since then I have been an advocate to less waste, be eco-friendly and as much as we can. But also I see the difference between the two countries. And yeah, it is impressive that we don't see it that here in Canada, while in Mexico it's happening every day. So yeah, more than happy to share what I have seen.
So water seems to be the one thing that you said was just this huge difference. Do you remember like maybe the first thing that you saw that you were like, what is happening here?
Yes, it is very impressive to me how most of people brushes their teeth with the tap open. Or like shower and then it's like open the shower, brush their teeth, go to the toilet, do other stuff while, oh, the water is heating, right? Like, and it's like, no, like you're by the shower in the moment that it's like, okay, it's hot, you jump in. It's like you don't roam around the whole house just waiting for, oh, a glass of water, whatever, this and that, right? Like that is very present for me when I started living with my now husband. He will go into the shower and then at 7 in the morning or 5 in the morning, I will be like knocking his door, like, shut the shower down. You're wasting water. And he's like, I'm just waiting for water to come. I was like, that has been 5 minutes. Like, take it easy. Like, turn it off. We don't have water. And the most common thing is like, we do have water in Canada, right? Like people respond to me when I say, take care of the water. We don't have water. The first response is, yes, we do. And it's true. Canada is one of the countries that has the most reserve of clear water, of drinking water. But what I always said is that 3,000 kilometers and not even that far, just south of the border, the U.S. already start having water problems. Mm-hmm. So it's just what our environment is showing us, right?
Yeah. It's funny that you use the example of brushing your teeth with the tap running. Because that was just normal to me. And I remember having this sort of like light bulb moment when I'm like, wait a minute. I put my toothbrush under the water for like a second at the beginning. And then I rinse it at the end. Why am I leaving the tap on? And ever since I had this moment, like it doesn't make sense to leave the tap on to me. But I specifically remember, and I was an adult, right? Like, I was like, I have always done this and I don't quite know why. And I don't do it anymore. But I do remember that light bulb moment when I was like, yeah, I just leave the tap running while I brush my teeth, even though it's not doing anything and I don't get it. So yeah.
And I'm currently in Mexico and I was sharing that the other day with some of my mom's friend, and one of them, her grandkids are living in Victoria and they're going to a Montessori kind of school where they teach you how to brush your teeth and things like that. And she was saying like, oh, now that you mentioned, it is true, because I was there for a day. They were teaching them how to brush their teeth while all the kids are lined up, the tab is open and it's one by one. And then I went and turned it off. And then the teacher looked at me like, what are you doing? He's like, you're wasting water. I don't know. Like, it's weird, right? But that's one of the things, the first thing that for us is like, we take so much care of our water. There's big cities here, actually has been in the news recently, that big cities that now they only have water from 4 in the morning to 8 or 9 in the morning, something like that, all week. So you have to collect your water for the day between those hours. And if you took a longer shower or took a bath, that's it. Like, you don't have water to wash your veggies or wash your hands or run the toilet down, right? Like, that's all the water that you're getting to the day. In big cities, maybe the small towns is more often seen that you don't have that much water. Like my hometown, it is a dry, so it's in the middle of the desert. So we have a little bit more of the culture of taking care of the water. You don't water your garden all day at all times, things like that. But in big cities, they were used to have water all the time because, well, they're the biggest cities. They're supposed to have the infrastructure to support all the population. But now it's not. It's also happening in the big cities. So it has been in the news that we're running out of water.
Have you ever had the experience of actually running out of water? And what does that look like?
Yes. well, it's not fun.
No, I don't imagine.
Sometimes you prioritize things, right? Like you start thinking like, okay, we might not have water for today. Sometimes even silly things, oh, the water tank broke and we don't have water, right? But it's like, okay, we might survive 2 days till the plumber comes and fix it. But that 2 days is like, okay, it's going to be used to wash your hands, run the toilet, and then maybe cook or something. Sometimes when we think about people carrying like big jugs of water in their bags or what, like the two little sticks on their sides with like two little big jugs and yeah. The kids are like walking kilometers to have water. We always think like Africa and like far, far away countries, right? And that happens in Mexico and all South America all the time. Like, so there's one well close to a small community and you have to go up and down the hill one or two times through the day to have just a little bit of drinking water. And that's the same water that they cook, they wash their hands. Mm-hmm. And that's why we also have a lot of cholera and all of those diseases, because there's not a lot of clean water anymore. And it's hard to get to those kind of populations. There are not, infrastructure has not get there yet.
Right.
And they still have to carry water in big jugs, ceramic jugs, like we see in the movies kind mm-hmm. of thing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't not only happen in the far away. It happens sometimes around the corner and we right. don't even notice.
Yeah. I grew up with a well, but our well had running water to the house. So it was our own personal well. But I do remember one year my stepfather dropped a hammer in the well. And so we couldn't drink the water that year or something. So we always had to like boil it before we cooked or cleaned with it. And I remember that there was one year where it was like tainted. So we couldn't use it the way we normally did. And I do remember that we had more limitations when we had the well as far as water use. But still, like, we still ran the water while we brushed our teeth. I don't know. That still baffles me to this day. I'm like, I can't believe I grew up doing that. But the one thing that I find is a huge water waster that I don't understand is lawns. The amount of water people use to water their lawns. I heard that we sort of imitated lawns from England, which is a very rainy country where they don't water their lawns because they don't have to. But in order for us here to keep up that appearance, we have to use all that water. So maybe as a culture, we shouldn't be encouraging that lawn dream.
I don't know if you remember last year, there was like this big heat wave that...
Oh, I remember.
Around June, July.
Yeah.
There was an advisory from the city, please don't water your lawns, right? And then you will get, it was not like a fine, but it was recommended, please save water because of the power. And they were shutting down to supply water to all the city, things like that.
Okay.
And people were like, oh my God, how can we do 1 day without watering our lawn? And it was like, it's not going to die. Like,
I know.
Gonna be fine. I promise. Like, for me, it was like, oh, okay. Yeah. How many days? Oh, just water one time a day. And I was like, do you need more? Like,
I can understand people with gardens who want to make sure that their food is growing. But yeah, just to keep that like lush green grass on your front lawn. Nope, I don't understand that at all. Doesn't make sense to me.
And then I get it that you want to water your lawn even. But it's like sometimes 10, 15 minutes is more than enough. Actually, the rule should be that the moment that it's like squishy and then it's already like collecting water, that's enough. You're actually going to drown the lawn. But there's sometimes like the whole driveway is already like leaking water everywhere. And the whole street is like puddles.
Yeah.
And people is just like turn on the water hose, left, maybe for grocery, superstore, whatever. And then they came back. It's like, oh, yeah, that might be 2 hours and the water is running out, right?
Yeah.
So it's like 10, 15 minutes is more than enough. And maybe do it 10, 15 minutes in the morning. Actually, you have to do it before the sun's out because then it evaporates and it doesn't do anything. And then after the sunset.
Yeah.
And then 10, 15 minutes in the morning, 10, 15 minutes in the night. And that's more than enough. At least we can start by reducing the time of what, how long you're watering your lawn to save a little bit of water. Little changes. I think it's not sacrificing about not having a lawn or not having a garden. It's not about being conscious of all those little changes. Like, oh, maybe I'm not going to run to Superstore and leave the water open. I'm just going to wait 10 minutes and then go to Superstore, right? Like little changes that will make a, I think it will start making a huge impact if we all start doing it. Last year, actually, I moved to a house. I was living in an apartment and it was like, I started to have a lawn and I started looking into collecting rainwater. There is a lot of people in Edmonton that is collecting rainwater and then you can use it to water your garden on those hot days or the days that there's advisory not to water your, use the like public water, the public water system. But it's just finding alternatives of how to do things. And sometimes it's not as hard as we think.
Yeah, rain barrels are a great suggestion because they're basically zero work once you put them in. you already have rain coming down. And if you can just capture a little bit of it, then you can save quite a bit of water that you would otherwise use. And I remember that water advisory. So it's not impossible for it to happen here in Canada, right? Like we have seen that little bit. And I think as climate change becomes more and more of an issue, we will probably see that happen more often. And you're right, that reaction of, what? I can't water my lawn? Priorities, right?
100%.
Yeah.
And we're seeing here in Mexico too, like rainy season is changing so much. Like in my city, it's a desert, but we used to have like 1 or 2 months of good rain, like pouring rain. And now you see like maybe one and a half, couple weeks, but there's just like a bristle of like not even being able that to the dams, because we have dams because of like a dry state, mm-hmm. or province, that there's not enough rain for the dams to fill up. So then it not only affects households, it also affects agriculture, cows, farmers, all of that, because then you don't have water to feed your cows and your animals. Then you don't have water in agriculture things like farmers that grow corn, for example.
Right.
So then the whole economy start plummeting because then the rain season was not the best. So everybody has to be conscious about it because we all are living from it. So
right.
We don't realize how much water affects our daily life. Sometimes it's like, oh, my lawn. And it's like, yeah. And then you wonder why lemons are so expensive. It's because there was no rain season right now in Mexico, or avocados or anything, right? Like
right.
It is one world and one thing affects everything.
Yeah. Water isn't just the water you use directly. Water goes into almost everything that we do and eat and wear and build and everything. So if we don't have water, and you're right, like we do trade with other countries that do have these water problems. And it's funny that here in Canada, we have all this abundance of water, right? As you say, that's people's first reaction. But then we also buy bottled water for some reason that, you know, if wherever that water is coming from, maybe other places could use it more than we could. And we should be sharing that resource rather than hoarding it even more than we already do. And then wasting our home water on overwatering our lawns and running the taps while we brush our teeth, etc.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest problem is that sometimes we're, I'm going to say selfish, and we just think about where we are right now. I'm in Edmonton. Edmonton doesn't have water problems, or Canada doesn't have climate change yet. The thing is yet, but at the end, we're still living in one world and it's all affecting, right? Like,
well, I don't know. Lytton burned down last year, so Do you remember? Yeah, you remember that? Lytton, BC, just the entire town just burnt to a crisp last year. That is the effects that we're seeing now.
Like, the heat wave in Edmonton last year was not normal. I mean, I have lived in Edmonton for 10 years and it was hotter than in Mexico. It was like, I was packing because I was going to Mexico and I was like sweating and we're not prepared, right? Like, all the houses don't have AC and everything. I remember that every Canadian Tire and every Walmart run out of fans because everybody was toasting. And those heat waves are more and more often, and we're not prepared for it. And then we're still wondering, is like, why climate change? What are we talking about? It's like, do you live in this world? Are you aware of like BC burning up and the bees dying, right? Like, it is all over the place and it's affecting everything. And it's starting, like, the water is, I think at some point, if we don't take care of the water, it's going to be kind of the oil industry, right? Like, whoever has it is going to be the rich countries, and whoever doesn't have it is going to be a fight about it, because it's so essential. Like, oil, maybe we can survive with, like, alternative energy sources. But water, there's not an alternative for water.
Nope.
If you drink orange juice, it doesn't take your thirst away, right? Like, you need a glass of water when it's a hot day. Like,
well, not to mention that even orange juice is mostly water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even to make the Coke, I don't know if you have heard that they say that Coke tastes differently in Mexico than in Canada. But even to make Coke, you need water. One of the towns that it's now limited water, they're saying, why you don't limit water on the Coke fabrics, like, right? Like, they are using gallons of water each day to produce their Cokes.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, they're just bottling sodas. What about them being limited and the households give a bigger room to get water, right? So this all big industries that are wasting water on other things, washing bottles, doing their products, all of this, that they are using gallons a day, what a household compared to like this whole industry, right? That's now the big debate about like, why do you limit the little households or the little individuals when you can tackle the big industries?
Why should the individual citizens suffer when the big corporations who are not essential services are being allowed to use as much as they want?
Exactly.
Yeah, that is something I'd never actually thought about specifically. Our world is very backwards, isn't it?
Yeah, and I haven't always been like advocate to be eco-friendly, and like I started to do my own like little changes in my own personal life. And then you go to this big conference about recycling and reuse, and a lot of the conversation is about like, what can an individual person make on their personal life changes when the big industries are not paying taxes, are not being taxated on their overuse of resources?
Mm-hmm.
Are we really making a change when we are not taking one more bag at the supermarket, or when there is millions of other bags being produced by all other industries for other things, right? How can you tackle one for another?
Thankfully, in Edmonton, bags will be banned in a year from now.
Well, all Canada.
No, just Edmonton.
Oh.
Canada was doing it, but they kind of put a hold on it because COVID happened, and so they were focusing on the pandemic. But Edmonton specifically has said, no, we're still going to go and get rid of the single-use items. So bags, plastic straws, and a bunch of other things. So, you know, we're trying. Slowly. But yeah, you're right. There's a lot of the higher up things that will make more of a difference are much harder to really cut off in a lot of ways, which is unfortunate, because really we should be prioritizing basic needs of the citizens, not the basic needs of corporations, which is just money.
And I have a family in LA, and they have also said that LA runs out of water all the time. And you think like, come on, it's LA. It's like one of the biggest cities in the US. It's California, like sunshine and rainbows all the time, right? Like, and they also are having those kind of issues. So sometimes is just to be able to see beyond our community or our privilege that we do have the resources or we do have this, and not because we have it, everybody has it. So sometimes it's a little bit of thinking beyond that.
Yeah, and I can hear people listening going, but not using it isn't going to give those other places more of it. Do you think that's true? Do you think that if we have more than enough water, if we want to use it, if we decide to save that and only use half of what we could use, is that other half actually going to do any good for those who are suffering without water?
Well, actually, I don't know if you know, but there's countries that export water or import water.
Mm-hmm.
Like the U.S. imports a lot from Mexico, too. So a couple of years ago, there was a big, it was in the news and it was in everybody's mouth because it was about Mexico province are running out of water because the water is being exported. So then it's like, hey, what about first us and then them? But because there's already deals in place, it's like, oh, we have to cover the deal first and whatever is left is stays here. But there's a lot of countries that it's a business already. If we do save it in Canada, that we have a ton of water, yes, other countries might start using it as much as we like it. As I mentioned, water is going to be more essential than oil at some point.
Yeah.
And it's going to be negotiated.
I think I will do a tad bit of research after this to see if Canada does export a lot of water. Because yeah, if we have that much of an abundance of water, we could be reducing our water usage and helping those who really are suffering in other parts of the world, like the desert states of the U.S. and Mexico, our neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Sometimes we just think that it's like Africa or India or like the other side of the pond, right? And sometimes it's, no, your neighbor is not having water, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, and I have been making fun of here in Mexico because yes, the culture of saving water and being more eco-friendly in a lot of things, like they're also starting with like the reusable straws or like alternative kind of straw, like paper straw or avocado seed straw, things like that. But they all come in a little package, plastic package. So it's like,
yeah.
The point was not to use plastic.
I saw that on a juice box, actually. I think I was getting blood taken or something. And so they were like, have a juice box to like refill you. And so I took this juice box and I took the little plastic wrapper off of the straw and the straw was paper. And I was like, but it's still wrapped in plastic. So yeah, I saw that recently and I was like, well, you know, the paper straw, I guess, is less plastic. So we're, you know, heading in the right direction there, I guess.
Yeah, it is a step forward. I'm impressed. Newer generation are being more conscious than the older generations, right? I don't know, like I'm considered a millennial, I guess. And millennials were still in the middle of like, this is how we grow up, whatever. Some are more woke and it's like, no, I need to start making a change, but we're kind of divided. Some are still more in our ways and others are like trying to make the change. But I'm seeing like my younger cousins and all of that, they're more aware and they're the ones that even Forever 21, right? Like they're not buying Forever 21 anymore, like because it's like fast clothes industry and they're like, nope, we're buying secondhand. It's like, really? Really, you're buying secondhand? What, maybe they don't have the necessity of buying a secondhand for half price, but it's just because they're like, no, but it looks good. It's half price. And I'm, at least I'm not being part of this industry
yeah.
that is mm-hmm. creating so much garbage, right? And they're and I was like, how old are you? Excuse me? Like, oh, 16, 17, 18 is like, oh, wow, respect. So it shows us that things are changing, but not fast enough.
That's lovely to hear that you really see that those younger people are really seeing that problem and doing their part to make as good of choices as they can with what they're given. Also, did you just imply that I'm not a millennial, that I'm younger than a millennial? Because thank you for that.
I don't know. Nobody likes to talk about the age. So I was just like, I'm millennial.
I am definitely, I actually think I'm one of the older millennials. So, you know. But yeah.
Well, you look very young.
Oh, thanks.
I have always said that Canadians don't age the same way as other parts in the world. And it's because, have you ever put a piece of meat in the freezer? Like, it never gets old. Like, 6 months of cold and it never gets old. It can last a whole year hilarious. And it's fine. I think Canadians preserve themselves very well, but I know it's the temperatures.
That's funny. Oh, my goodness.
But even that, right? Like, one of the things that I noticed when people have gone to Banff and Jasper many times. And the first few times that I went to Banff and Jasper, that you drive to the glacier part of then, it says like 1988, 1999, and how it's reversing. And nobody's like panicking because right there, the glacier is melting. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, now we have to walk or take a bus for 5 kilometers in so you can see the glacier, when before it was just when you were standing, right? Like,
that is our water disappearing right there.
That's our water disappearing. You're still saying, no, it's not happening. It's like Lake Louis, like, it's the same, right? The levels were so up, it was almost to the level of the hotel, the Fairmont. Mm-hmm. Now it's like the whole promenade that is in front of the hotel. It's really nice. You can enjoy it. But the reality is that that lake is halfway to it, what it was. But it's so, we get so used to it that it's normal, right? Like, oh yeah, that's how Lake Louis looks like in your lifetime. But it didn't look like that in your parents' lifetime, right? I think we just get used to or blindsided.
Yeah, and I mean, moment. Climate change is causing that to slowly happen, which I think when something slowly happens like that, it's harder to see and it's harder to get that panic. But there are other ways that we can end up without water, like if there's an oil spill in a major waterway, like, and that has happened, that would be just like instant, nobody can drink the water, then what do you do? So having that mindset is always a good, because you never know. You never know what's going to happen.
We just survive a pandemic and we never thought about it.
Yeah.
It happens. And there's countries like India and those kind of Middle East countries where polio is still a thing and they cannot drink their water because it's contaminated with polio. So they have to get vaccinated or immunized to be able to drink their own water. So it's more deep than we think, but little changes can, I do think that collective changes can make a difference. Maybe we save water in Edmonton. Maybe St. Albert is having water issues. Maybe Leduc, maybe Red Deer. We don't know, but sometimes we're just focusing in our community. Mm-hmm. Windermere, Southgate, or like little communities, there are richer communities within Edmonton that they have more or less water, right? And we don't think about that. And we're still watering our lawns from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Yeah. And anytime, it could be a huge issue. And so I think it's a good thing for everybody to think about. And especially, like we had said earlier, it's not just the water that you see directly. It is the water that is behind everything else that you buy and eat and drink. And coffee. Coffee requires water. And for a yes. lot of people, coffee is very important. You need water for that.
And I guess for the people hearing us, like, okay, now I'm aware of this. Now what can we do? Like you said, we said at the beginning, like brushing your teeth, open the water, wet your toothbrush, and close the tap. Brush your teeth, take your time, walk around. It doesn't matter. Then come back to the sink, open up, rinse your teeth, rinse your toothbrush, and that's it. Instead of 5 minutes of running your water. Now, I see in Canada, a lot of households have like the toilets that have
the dual flush. Yeah.
Dual flush. But even if you don't have that, you can put like a bottle of plastic filled with water in your tank. So that will reduce the amount of water that you flush every time.
Yep.
Little changes.
Little changes.
Open the shower, collect the water that is running. If you have plants in your house, you can use them to water your plants after the water that is running to the shower. Maybe don't take a bath every day, every night.
I do that too, actually. If I have water that I've used for, like, let's say I boiled eggs, then that water doesn't get poured down the sink. It goes into my watering can. And then that's the water that I use to water my plants. I don't So if I have like water that's not going to hurt my plants, but I've used it for something else, I don't just get rid of it. It ends up going towards my plants later.
My parents are architects, and they were saying that a lot of projects now, the water from the shower goes to the toilet, and then the toilet, then you flush it.
Oh, so that's then it's cool. Like,
oh, awesome. And in our house, because it's an older house, they couldn't do that because there was not the system.
Right.
But what they do is that it's now going to the garden. So that water, it doesn't really hurt the plants because it's just a little bit like soapy water, that it's not like very strong soap that it can kill your lawn. So now it's just flushing into the garden. Mm-hmm. So just from the shower. So they changed that. It was simple. Then just change it to the toilet. But a lot of that is happening already.
That's cool.
I love plants too. And even your fish tank water, it can be reused, and it's actually really good
to
water
your plants.
Yeah, I bet
that would be really good to water your plants with. That would probably be.
Because it has minerals and whatever. So it's like, even that you can reuse, right? Collect rainwater. It's not as hard as people think. Because I started asking, and they were saying, okay, yeah, you can buy like the big collecting gallons, but then they were saying like sometimes they're so expensive because they're so high in demand, especially to COVID, because everybody stayed home and everybody started doing new projects and things like that. But it's like, you can do it yourself. You just need a big bucket, make a hole on it, put a
an old garbage can, which a lot of people have now because of the new cart system, right?
Yeah, and then you can collect water just there, and then it can be used to water your lawn, water your indoor plants, change your fish tank water, those kind of like maybe not drinking water. But even that, we don't want to get to the point that we have to boil our water to be able to cook with it. We are privileged in Edmonton that you can open the tap and you can drink from it. That's not the reality in Mexico. You have to filter it and clean it and all of that, because it has to pass through a lot of it, and it's very contaminated all the time. And that's why people that comes to Mexico says that don't drink the water,
don't
because you're gonna get sick.
Yeah,
but it's how the water is coming from.
And if you go to another country and it's like, don't drink the water, well, maybe think about that and how these people have to live like that all the time, and kind of just take that back with you a little bit.
Yes, I think one of the parts that we can start also changing is that mindset, that is not only the country that we're living, is one world that we're sharing. And it is our neighbors and or the next community or somebody that is struggling with water. So a lot of Canadians travel to Mexico and then maybe be a little more empathetic about people struggling to get water or don't drink from the tap. And it's not because, oh, we're a third country that we don't have the infrastructure to get clean water. No, there is no clean water anymore. It's not about that we're too poor to have it. It's that there's no resources anymore.
Right.
Canada can be there if we don't start taking care of our water.
Yeah, and we've started to see it. Like we said, we did see a little bit last year with the heat waves and stuff. It can happen. Just keep it in mind and be as mindful with your water as you can, even if there is lots, because we can help others. So
100%.
I just want to ask you at this point, what is an eco challenge for you lately? Something that's been challenging environmentally in your life?
Probably not using the AC that as much. Here is so hot sometimes. And especially my room is the one of like the part of the house that gets sun all day, not 24/7, but like from 7 in the morning till 7 at night, the sun hits my room and it's hot. So it's like I turn the AC on and then it's like, okay, it's cool enough. And then I turn it off and then I turn it on back again. And it's like, but I feel bad to leave it running all day and then just leave the house and come back. It's so hot. But like, so it's a challenge. Sometimes it's like, oh, I'm so hot and I'm sweating. And it's like, nope. I need to limit it myself. And I think I think another one will be the ones that you use to clean Q-tips.
Yeah.
I promise I have searched for alternatives, but the alternatives are not very convincing to me yet. So it's like, I don't know. I have changed a lot of things from one use to like washables and things like that. And it's not that bad. It's not that hard. I heard one time is that people don't become zero waste from one day to the next one.
Nope.
It's a process.
Yep.
It might take years, but at least it's starting reducing your footprint a little bit at a time, right? Like it can be hybrid car, it can be riding your bike in the summer, or it can be little changes, but we're reducing your footprint that we're killing this planet slowly and we're running out of time.
So now we're going to do a 180. What is an eco win for you lately?
An eco win. When I start talking about the challenges that I have, and then I start like, what do I do? I figure out that I do a lot, like little things, even from to remove my makeup. I don't use any disposable anymore. Try to reuse bottles that I use. I don't buy veggies on a bag. It's my worst enemy. And I don't do it anymore. And it's those little changes that is like, oh, actually I do more than I realize. And maybe that's why it was so interesting for me to be part of the podcast, because it's like, it can be done. It's not that hard. Maybe if somebody told me like, hey, tomorrow you're going to stop using this, this, and this, and it's done. It's like, okay, give me a minute. I don't know if I can do it. But because I have started doing it one thing at a time, right now, a few years later, I see back and it's like, oh, actually, I'm doing a lot of things and it was not as hard. I think that has been my biggest win, to realize that it's not as hard as we think and it can be done. It just need to be one baby steps at a time.
I love that. That's great.
What about you?
Oh, an eco challenge, I'm going to say, is probably heat as well. The summer is coming and we moved into this place during the heat wave last year when there were no fans and it was stinking hot. So this year we got fans. We were like, we are going to get fans before it's hot, before they're all gone. So we did go out and buy fans brand new, which we try to get most of our stuff used, but we were like, no, we are getting fans this year. So I would say that that's probably a bit of a challenge for me to have sort of caved to buying something new when there might be something used out there. And I just wanted to make sure that I had it because I need to survive the heat this year.
You know what is funny? For the 10 years that I have lived in Edmonton, I always say that the whole winter, people complain how cold it is. But the moment it's a little bit hot outside, everybody's house and places is freezing inside. You want heat, but the moment it's a little bit of hot, you want fresh and cold and freeze inside. Yeah. And it's like, oh, it's so cool inside, but so hot outside and it's so nice. It's like, suck it up. Like,
suck it up a little bit. Put on a sweater. Like, or take, you know, wear some shorts and a tank top. Grab some ice, have a cold drink. Try to do some other things to cool yourself off or heat yourself up. I do notice that it's warmer in the winter time at my work and it's cold in the summer, because in the summer the AC is on. So I'm always colder at work in the summer than I am in the winter.
But they pump the AC like crazy. I'm not an AC lover. Like, it's a weird kind of cold. So I get cold right away. Even that is like, you ask for hot weather, enjoy it, like go out, sweat. You're going to just sweat for 1 week and then we're going to go back to cold weather for the rest of the year. So what it will hurt to be, and in hot places in Mexico, actually, they say that AC is your worst enemy because you don't get used to the hot. So then you sweat more, like feel the heat way more than if you just slowly get used to the heat. Mm-hmm. That's it. Like, your body is smart enough to adjust the body temperature.
Absolutely. But 13 degrees in October is a lot colder than 13 degrees in March. Because in October, you're used to it being warm, and in March, you're used to it being cold. And you're
100%. But yeah, like, there's a place in Mexico, it's called Merida. I went to visit a couple of years ago. And then I came in, and my friend, bed, mattress, and everything is like there. No sheets, no anything. And I was like, what? Is like, and he was like, oh, I can give you sheets or I can give you the hammock. And I was like, I'm not sleeping in a hammock. What are you talking about? And he didn't have AC or anything. So it was like, okay, fine. And then he gave me sheets and blankets and whatever. Oh my God, worst mistake ever, because it was like, stick to my body. It was humid. It was hot. There was mosquitoes everywhere. It was nasty. The next day, he's like, can I have the hammock, please? Because I think I might try that because this was uncomfortable. And it was like, he was like, a lot of people sleep in a hammock in hot weathers because actually it's very cool. It's very comfortable. And you don't have like things
I
stick
would
to your
totally
body.
Sleep. I would have picked the hammock the first night. I think so.
I really thought that I won't fall, but actually it was very comfortable the second night.
Yeah.
And people adapt, culture adapts, right? Like in Canada, we have AC for 20 degrees maybe and 30 degrees for 2 weeks and we have ACs. Well, South Mexico, maybe it's economy, so people cannot afford having an AC. They might have fans and not even that because the fan just will blow hot air and they just get used to it. So I think the body is also smart enough to deal with those temperatures. It's just that we have a little bit of tolerance of those moments. Yeah. There's like it's heading
It's hot. A little bit of convenience and a little bit of privilege and we just take the easy way because we can.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been awesome.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Like, we can keep talking and talking.
I'm sure we could.
One thing will take us to the next one.
I'd like to thank all the listeners who tuned in today. I'd like to thank our patrons on Patreon and wastefree.ca who support the efforts of Waste Free Edmonton because we do a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, laws, events, that sort of thing, and that all costs money, so we appreciate any support that our listeners provide through those means. We like to thank Change Toothpaste for sponsoring the podcast and making it free to do because we're all volunteers here and podcasting is not free. If you'd like to get a hold of us here at Becoming Less, you can reach us by email at becominglesspod@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at becominglesspod or you can go to wastefree.ca/becominglesspod for all the ways to connect and listen. Until next time, we can all be a little less than we were yesterday. You don't want to do that hypocritic. Wow. You don't want to be a hypocrite. Yeah.